First Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Are we there, friends? Now the Bible says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Come on, say no other doctrine. Say no other doctrine. Friends, there are teachings, there are things that are taught in church that are not the gospel. And this, I guess, is the thing that I've been saying now before I started preaching. There are a lot of things, a lot of teachings that are taught in church that are actually not the gospel. There are those who are teaching wrong in the church. There are those who are teaching wrong things, wrong doctrine, wrong gospel. These things have found their way into the church. These people have found their way into the church. This spirit has found its way into the church. There are those who are being taught these things, these errors, these heresies. Now, the charge given to Timothy, friends, is not for those who are outside, but is for those who are in church. Notice he says, I command you to charge them. Timothy was a pastor of the church in Ephesus. Now he says, speak in the church that they teach no other doctrine. Now it tells you there was a problem at the church in Ephesus. There was a wrong teaching that had crept into the church. Now he says, I charge you to tell them to teach no strange, no other, no wrong doctrine. But the most unfortunate saddest, weirdest truth, friends, is that people believe and follow anything. This is the saddest reality, the saddest truth. The most unfortunate thing is that people, they believe and they follow anything, whether right or wrong. This is why you don't follow something because it's followed by a lot of people. This is why you don't believe something because it's believed by a lot of people. Why? Because people can believe and they can follow anything, whether it be right or wrong. That's why you don't just follow. This is why Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not every truth, not every doctrine, not every gospel taught in church, not everything that is taught in church is the message of Jesus Christ, is the message from Jesus Christ. And this is key. Hallelujah. To this day, people are still being taught and force-fed the law, something that is not the gospel, or at least part of the gospel, and people sincerely believe it. I charge you, Timothy, to tell them to teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. We know that the Bible says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, this has got serious implications. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That means there is no right standing or rightness with God that can be gained by and through the law, by and through doing this or not doing that, by and through other things or other means. Christ, and nothing but Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness. He is our righteousness. Christ and nothing but Christ. We do know that it's not only Christ that is preached in the church today. There are other things that are preached in the church today that have got nothing to do with Christ. There are a lot of things that are done in the church today that have got nothing to do with Christ. There are a lot of things that people are instructed in that have got nothing to do with Christ. I charge you, my son, go tell them to teach no other doctrine but Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. To preach Christ and Him crucified, crucified in the day and the age in the which we live. It is no longer fashionable to preach Christ and Him crucified. In this day and age in the which you and I live, friends, it is no longer fashionable. We are now going for other things. We are looking for other things. We are believing other things. We are following other things other than Christ alone and Him crucified. There is no right standing or rightness with God that can be gained by and through the law. No one can be justified before God. No one can be justified before God by any other means but except through Christ and Him alone, church. No one can be justified before the Lord through observance of religious ordinances and rituals and performances. Nobody can. Hallelujah. Although we know that things have crept into the church, have found their way into the church. All right? Water has found its way into the church. Oil has found its way into the church. Salt has found its way into the church. Candles have found their way into the church. Dress code has found its way into the church. Fake prophets and fake teachers and fake pastors have found their way into the church. I command you, my son, go. I charge you to tell them to teach no other doctrine but Christ and Him crucified. Friends, there is nothing that accord righteousness. There is nothing that accord righteousness but Jesus. Jesus and Him crucified, Jesus alone. Jesus and Him crucified, Jesus alone. And here is the true word, the true message, the truth, the true gospel we find in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 8 to 10. Ephesians and chapter number 2, verses 8 through number 10. The word of the Lord says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace, and that's it, for by grace you have been saved through faith, full stop. It is by the grace of God. It is the grace, by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Not of yourselves. It's got nothing to do with religious rites, religious observances, religious performances. It's got nothing to do with our ability to do anything. It is by grace and not of ourselves. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that's what it is. What begins by grace, it continues by grace, and it ends by grace. What begins by grace, it continues by grace, and it ends by grace. There is nothing that can be added to it, and there is nothing that can be subtracted from it. It begins by grace, it continues by grace, it concludes by grace. Friends, it is the gift of God. You don't pay for a gift. You don't perform for a gift. You do not work for a gift. There is no working in the gospel. There is no performance in the gospel. There is no paying in the gospel. Why? Because it is by grace and nothing but by grace. It is the grace of God. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works. There is nothing one can do to earn the grace of God. There is nothing that any one of us can do to earn the grace of God. There is nothing that any one of us can do to earn salvation. There is nothing that you and I can do to earn the favor, the blessings of God. There is absolutely nothing we can do. It is by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friends, salvation is a free gift from God to us. Salvation is a free gift from God. It is not complicated and it should not be made complex. For we are his workmanship, verse number 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We cannot do anything to impress God. What he wants us to do is inherent in our new nature. God has already put it in us, what he wants us to do. That is why it is not by works. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by works of righteousness that we can do, church. It is the Lord who works in us. He works it in us. We don't bring anything on the table. It is the Lord who works it in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He works it in us. What God wants us to do, he works it in us. What God wants us to do, he gives us. It is inherent in our new nature. This is why there is nothing that you can do that will earn you the favor of God. If anything, if it ends, or if it can earn anyone anything, it will earn the ire of God. The Lord gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The Lord gives us the power, the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, this is indeed the gospel, not another doctrine, not trying to win favor with him, with the Lord, by a display of the flesh. We can win no favor, we can gain no right standing with God by a display of the flesh. Some of us, we have believed that to pray long and hard would give us some type of status, would accord us some type of righteousness, would give us some audience, would give us some attention with the Lord. And no, friend, that is not true. There are churches that are established on these things. They are built on these things, on praying long and hard, thinking that by praying long and hard, that is spirituality. No. Spirituality is the grace of God, is the free gift of God. We don't bring anything on the table. God has brought everything on the table. That is why it is the gift of God. It is not of works. It is not of ourselves. It's not the display of flesh. For by grace you've been saved. We are justified only by grace, and by grace through faith. We are justified by grace, and by grace through faith. You know, this thing is important because Paul says, he charges believers, he says, do not take the grace of God in vain. Do not take the grace of God in vain. That means we, majority of us, it could be that we've taken the grace of God in vain. Now, when we take the grace of God in vain, the grace of God cannot be able to work for us. Because the grace of God is there to work for us. The grace of God is there to do everything for us. Since it's not by works of righteousness, of our righteousness, which we have done. Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 I feel distant from the Lord. I feel like the Lord is not hearing me. That means I need to pray hard. I need to study the word hard. I need to fast hard. No, my friend. There's no gift like that. There's no grace like that. That's works program. That's the works of man, the works of the flesh. That is not the gospel. It is the Lord who works it in us. To will to do for his good pleasure. He gives us the desire and the power to please him. You see, when we don't follow that route, when we don't go according to that route, we are indeed taking the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? We are setting grace aside. To take the grace of God in vain means we are setting the grace of God aside. Instead, we are bringing in our own efforts. We are bringing in our own works. We are bringing in our own righteousness. By so doing, we are setting grace aside. Hebrews 4 and verse number 16. The word of the Lord says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Please, friends, let us therefore come boldly, come. The door is wide open. The invite is to all. The invite is for all. The door is wide open. The door is wide open. The invite says, let all who desire, let them come. And no one will be turned away. No one will be turned back. It is an invite that is standing and open. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Do not set the grace of God aside. Come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What we need to help us in our dire straits is the grace of God. It's not our much praying. It's not our much working. It's not our much anything. It is the grace of God. He says that you may find grace to help in time of need. Do not set aside the grace of God. In our dire, dire straits, what we need to come out, the solution that we require, it is in the grace of God. It is the grace of God. So we are not to set aside the grace and jump into works program. And jump into doing this, into doing that, and jump into ordinances, and jump into observances, and jump into performances. And jump, of course, into objects. Objects such as water, such as oil, such as salt, such as candles, such as dress code, such as this, such as that. Notice, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may, this is the reason, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need, to find the help that we so desperately need. It is freely available. You cannot work for it. I cannot work for it. I cannot add anything to it. I cannot take anything from it. And none of us can. The grace of God, the power of Christianity, the power of what God has done lies in His grace. It is embedded in His grace. Now notice, He bids us simply to come because Christ has done it all for us. He bids us to come. He bids us to simply come because Christ has done it all for us. We don't need to do anything. We don't need to do anything. And there's none of us that can do anything. We don't need to do anything. And there's none of us that can do anything. Oh, hallelujah. He says, come, friend. That means I don't need to torture myself with fasting. I don't need to torture myself with long and hard prayers and this or that. If God wanted me to fast, the grace of God would lead me, because it is God who works it in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Oh, come on, church. It is God who gives us the desire and the power to please Him. What is the problem? What is the major problem? We have set the grace of God aside. And we have gone it alone without God. We are going it alone without God in a bid to approach God. No, He says, come to the throne of grace. There is no working, there is no doing, there is no labor, there is no toil in the throne of grace. I say there is no laboring, there is no toiling, there is no working, all right, in the throne of grace. He says, come, what you require, the throne of grace will give you mercy of God and will give you the grace of God, whatever you need at the time that you need it. He simply bids us to come because Jesus Christ has done it all for us. We don't need to do anything anymore. And there's no one of us that can do anything. There's nothing that still needs to be done. There is nothing. Christians, church, Jesus Christ did everything. This is the why. He said it is finished. Why? Because there is nothing that still needs to be done. He did everything. Ours is to accept the grace. Ours is to approach the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Everything has already been made available for us. It is a gift. Listen, it is possible to refuse a gift. It's very possible. And you may even refuse a gift without being aware that you are refusing it. There is nothing that still needs to be done. We only need to simply come. I say we only need to simply come and not place heavy burdens on ourselves and on others. I say, and not place heavy burdens on ourselves and on others with steps on how to hear from God, steps on how to meet with God, steps on how to communicate with God, steps on how to receive from God, etc., etc. No, grace of God has done everything. There is nothing that still needs to be done. There is no step. He did all the steps. He met all the requirements. Jesus did all the steps and he met all the requirements. There's nothing that still needs to be done for us in order for God to bless us. There is nothing that still needs to be done in order for God to manifest in our midst. There is nothing that still needs to be done for God to do anything for us because God has already done everything for us. He who did not spare his own son for us, how will he not also together with his son give us freely all things? It is finished. It is finished. Unfortunately, most Christians, instead of going to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, they have gone to the throne of man. Instead of going to the throne of grace, the throne of God, they have gone to the throne of man. They served man and not God. They worshipped man and not God. They tried so hard to impress man and not God. Setting aside the grace of God. And as a result today, they've got nothing to show for it. A lot of Christians have got nothing to show for it. This is why today a lot of Christians are bruised, they are battered, and they are wounded. Why? They set aside the grace of God. They did not come as we were told to come to the grace, to the throne of grace. They did not come to the throne of grace, but they went to the throne of men. Instead of serving God, they serve man. Instead of worshiping God, they worshiped man. And what did they get? They are bruised, they are battered, they are wounded. Today they want to give up and they are blaming it all on God when God has got nothing to do with it because it had nothing to do with God in the first place. From the beginning, it had nothing to do with God, church. Please do know that there is a throne of God and there is a throne of man. Please know that there is a church of God and there is a church of men. I say there is a church of God and there's a church of men. Those are two different churches. Although they use the same Bible, they use the name of the same God, but they are two different churches. Throne of man and a throne of God. Church of man and the church of God. People of God, please do have this settle that men will disappoint you, but not God. Men will leave you, but not God. Men will promise and not fulfill, but not God. And some of us have gone through these situations. Some of us have gone through these situations. As people of God, we should stop, friends. As people of God, we should stop for our own goodness. We should stop following pastors, following churches, following sermons blindly. Blindly, we ought to examine all things if they line up with the word. We ought to examine all things. We must examine all things. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, underline another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, underline a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel. Please underline different gospel. You see, there is another Jesus. There is another spirit. There is another gospel. But this other Jesus, other gospel, other spirit, they are all in the church. They have found their way in the church. Charge them, my son, not to teach another doctrine, not to teach another Jesus, not to teach another spirit, not to teach another gospel. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You may well put up with it. People don't question, people don't examine things. Sad to say that even Christians, believers who are enlightened, who are in the light, they don't scrutinize, they don't examine, they do not search. Yet the Bible says, search all things. Search. Before you become a member of this church, search. Before you visit this church, search. Before you visit for the second time, search. Before you visit for the third time, search. Before you settle, search. That's what the Bible you have tells you. Search. Test, examine, scrutinize all spirit. Not everything that is called church is church. There could be another Jesus there. There could be another spirit there. There could be another gospel there. If after thorough examination and scrutiny, it does not line up with the gospel, don't put up with it. Don't put up with it. There is no smoke without fire. There is no smoke without fire. Don't say it was a mistake. Don't say it was per happenstance. There is no smoke without fire. If it does not line up with the gospel, do not put up with it. It is not. It is not. Run away and don't look back. Run away and don't look back. You people of God, please do know this, that the true gospel can only build you up and not destroy you. The true gospel, we are talking about the true gospel. Anything that doesn't do this, there's no smoke without fire. It is really not the gospel, because the true gospel can only build you up and not destroy you. The true gospel can only inspire you and not bring you down. The only gospel can only inspire you and not bring you down. Anything that doesn't that, it is not the gospel. There is no smoke without fire. The true gospel can only comfort you and not hurt you. The true gospel, this is what Jesus died for. This is what he died to give us. This is the grace of God, the free gift he has given us, the free gift of salvation. This is the gospel, which is a gift unto us. This gospel can only comfort you and not hurt you, can only comfort you and not harm you, church, can only build you up and not destroy you, can only inspire you and not hurt or harm you. Anything that doesn't do this, anything that takes advantage of you, anything that uses and abuses you, it is definitely not the gospel. Do not excuse it. There's no smoke without fire. There's no smoke without fire. We've been called to come to the throne of grace, not to the throne of abuse, not to the throne of being used and abused. Not to the throne of being harmed and hurt. Not to the throne of being destroyed. We have not called to come to the throne of being put down. No, we have not come to the throne. We've come to the throne of lifting. We've come to the throne of raising. We've come to the throne of elevating. We have come to that throne, a throne of comforting, a throne that edifies us, a throne that loves us, a throne that mends us when we are broken. This is the throne unto which we have come. Now, this is the true gospel, not the gospel that uses and abuses people, not the gospel that takes advantage of the people, not the gospel that manipulates the people, not the gospel that controls the people, not the gospel that makes money out of the people. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Charge them not to teach another doctrine. Charge them not to teach another doctrine. What church do you go to? What gospel do you hear? What message do you hear? Which pastor do you follow? What are the fruits? What are the results? It matters. It truly and honestly matters. It does matter. Matthew 11, as I'm closing today, Matthew 11 and 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Come to me. Come not to the church of man. Come to me. Not to the throne of man. Come to me. He said, which part of these friends do we miss? Come to me. This is the gospel. Come to Jesus, not to man. Come to Jesus, not to man. People are looking for men and not looking for Jesus. People are looking for churches, they are not looking for Jesus. People are looking for whatever they are looking for, they are not looking for Jesus. And yet Jesus is saying, the invite says, come to me. Come to Jesus through men, but not to men. You may come to Jesus through men, but not to men. I say you may come to Jesus through men. It is the will of God, it is the plan of God to come to Jesus through men, but not to men. That means Jesus is the destination and not man. I said Jesus is the destination and not man. Friends, Jesus is bidding all of us to come. All of us. I mean all of us. You may be Christian, but never have come to Christ. You may be Christian, but never have known Christ. You may be Christian, indeed, you may be Christian, but never have come to him. You may be Christian, but never have known Christ. This is why the bidding is to all of us. He bids all of us to come. He says, come, and I will help you. Whatever help you are looking for, whatever situation you find yourself, he says, come. Come, and I will help you. You are carrying a lot. You are weighed down by a lot of things. You are bending, breaking. You are buckling under the pressure, under the strain, under circumstances. But he says, come and I will help you. You're carrying heavy burdens. You're carrying heavy loads. The world is weighing very heavy on you, but the invite is still open. The invite is standing. He says, come to me. Please, people have given the gospel a very bad name. They've given God a very bad name because he says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. But instead of coming to him, we have come to men. We have come to churches. We have come to things, but to Jesus. Come. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything the Lord cannot do? Is there anything too impossible for God? Come, the right address. I think we've missed the address. I say we've missed the address. We have received the invite, but we have missed the address. We have received the invite, but we have missed the address. We received the invite, but we went to wrong places. We have not come to him. Friends, your situation is not hopeless. Whatever we are going through, whatever we may be faced with, whatever we may face from time to time, it is not hopeless. Why? Because he is the help that we need. He is the help that we are looking for. He is the help that we need. Come, come, and I will give you rest. I will take your heavy burdens from you. Come. He's the help we need. He's the help you're looking for. He is our helper. We only need to come. We only need to come. And that is the only requirement. He didn't say pray a lot. He didn't say pray hard. He didn't say give. He didn't say any of those things. The only thing he said, come. Come. Now, this is the gospel of the Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus. He simply says, come. You come as you are. That's the only requirement. The Spirit and the bride say, come. People are running from church to church. Sadly, looking to get this, to get that, to receive this, to receive that, as we speak right now. Why? Because they are Christians that have never come to Christ. They are Christians that have never known Christ. They received the invite, but they went to the wrong address. They received the invite, but they went next door. Oh, friends, you may be a Christian, but never have come to know to Jesus. You may be a Christian, but never have come to know him. But today, he is calling you. And he says, what, church? He says, what, church? He says, what, church? He says, what, church? Not to men. Do not look unto men. Look unto Jesus. Don't look unto men. Look unto Jesus. You come to Jesus through men, but not to men. You come to Jesus through men, but not to men. Come to Jesus. You look unto Jesus. The men, the women you've been following, what have you benefited from it? Have they not disappointed you? Have they not promised you and they never fulfilled? Have they not promised you heaven and earth, but they never delivered? Have they not promised you manna from heaven? Have you not served them faithfully? Have you not even worshipped them faithfully? Have you not? Have you not do the best that you could to impress them? But what have they done to you? What are the results? Can you see that? You got the right invite, but got the wrong address. You got the right invite, but got the wrong address. Oh, come on, church. Right invite. What is my life producing? I've been following this man of God. I've been following this woman of God. I've been following this ministry faithfully, done this, done that. What really, really, really? You see, you've not been following Jesus. This is why some of us have been to many churches, but we have not been to Jesus. This is why many of us, we've been to many pastors, but we've never been to Jesus. This is why many of us, we've been laid hands on, but Jesus has never laid his hand on us, because we have never gone to him to lay his hand on us. Right invite. Right invite. Wrong address. If you are here today, and you are the one who has been following men but not Christ, been following churches but not Christ, been serving men but not Christ, been impressing men but not Christ. And today you could be very, very extremely disappointed. Today you could be disillusioned with church, with religion, as it were. I'd like you to come forward here that we may pray for you if you are that person. That's category number one. Category number two, which will come this side. If you have never known Christ, if you've never come to Christ and you've never known Christ, I need you to come this side, please, so that we can pray for you and with you.